You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
And we're back after taking a momentary pause of our international travels to cover some domestic news. Folks, y'all are lighting it up. You're listening live. I love you. I'm not going to mention who sent in this message here because I don't want to get him in trouble with his wife, but he's spot on. He's spot on. First of all, he says, bring on the general. Yeah, we're getting to General Zeljko Glasnovich in this, our third and final hour. But he writes, I know who Hannah Baron is. She noodles catfish dressed in a bikini. Knockout body, marketing genius. I think that's just really just Keith's laughing off mic, but he nailed it. I got you mic'd up now.
Now I've got to Google
don't look
her name.
Up my, Hannah
You told me
Baron.
Not to Google her.
Everybody was talking about her this week. Henrik Palmgren, all of the people in our regular traveling circles were talking about this Muslim woman, denouncing her as being unfeminine and manly. Like I said, folks, don't Google Hannah Baron's name. Just whatever you do. All right, but we got to get back to the show. Our minds are getting in the gutter now here at TPC.
Yours is. I hadn't seen this person, but I'm definitely going to check her out.
Anyway, she's right next door to Courtney there in South Alabama.
Well, something about the air down there or something. Or the
Well, everybody knows a Southern girl. Ain't nothing like them. But let's get to this as we continue TPC's At 20, a retrospective series, revisiting some of our iconic interviews throughout our 20th anniversary year. This is our third part of 12 in this series, where yours truly and Keith revisit clips from some of our most memorable interviews over the past two decades with fresh reaction and commentary. Major General Zeljko Glasnovich, after a highly decorated military career, he went on to become elected to the Croatian Parliament in 2015. He sat down with us in our inaugural installment of March Around the World in 2020, and this is what it sounded like. If you haven't listened to this before, or if at the very least you haven't heard it since 2020, you'll understand by the end of this hour why we picked this one to showcase as part 3 of 12. Here we go. Let's first talk, if you don't mind, General, about your military career. I've read a story that you were severely wounded in battle, wounded near the heart, and that you were sent to the hospital but escaped from the hospital so you could rejoin the front lines. Is that true?
Well, more or less, I have been wounded several times, but this was the worst one. I was shot through the lungs in 1992, and thank God I survived, made it back to the front line. And, leadership, you have to lead from the front. I mean, you can't fake leadership. My brother was captured not soon after that, and he was tortured for 15 months, but thank God he survived. And I think that's due to the prayer of my family, my grandmother especially, who was really a hero in my eyes.
Well, what an example. What a family. My goodness, 15 months of torture. Such a severe wound, leaving the hospital against orders to return to the front lines. This was in the Croatian War for Independence, correct?
True, yes. Well, the war lasted from 91 till 95, and I'm honored to say that we had American veterans also fighting in my unit in Bosnia against the Mujahideen, which we see today, that new incarnation of ISIS, Daesh. We fought against them in Bosnia-Herzegovina. I had a platoon of foreign volunteers that served within my unit.
I read also, General, that you were known for demanding, as a commander, a high level of discipline. Now, do you think that even in society, that this has become one of our banes, that men of the West lack
discipline, and it has that contributed to where we stand currently as a people across Christendom, across the West?
Well, the first factor in any battle is decisive leadership. We need that more than ever today because we're living in a world that's slowly committing to the West civilizational suicide. And unless we have the courage to stand up for what we believe, we're facing moral extinction. We're going to more or less moral capitulation. We cannot let this happen.
I know that you retired from the military in 2000, if my notes are correct. What led you to getting politically involved? You were a war guy, war hero. You got into politics.
Man.
A military man, correct. But it's not unprecedented for men of your stature to go into politics, but it's also not necessarily the norm. What led you to get active 15 years after retirement and run for a seat in the Croatian parliament?
Well, in 2000, the recycled communists came back to power in Croatia in 2000, and they basically retired all the old officers from the war. And the people that I served with more or less pushed me into the political arena, and I won the first election. I got in on the Christian Democrat vote, and the second time I came in on an independent vote. So I'm still there in Parliament.
All right, so Keith, I think we'll take our first pause right there to come back with some live reaction to this. This was an interview that we had back in 2020, our first installment of March Around the World. And I think that the point I would want to impress upon the listeners right now is that we have heroes, real-time heroes right now. We have role models. The world wants to suppress men like this. We're going to showcase them here on TPC, and it's one of the best things we've ever been able to do. We read the letter earlier tonight from the listener and supporter in Missouri saying, hey, if it wasn't for shows like this, no one would ever know about Nick Griffin here in the United States. And but this guy, Nick Griffin, former member of European Parliament, this guy, retired major general in the Croatian War of Independence, now a member of Parliament, or since then a member of Parliament, that's something.
Well, you know, we were talking earlier about how the censorship regime has taken over in Europe and in America, but, you know, the oldest type of censorship, which we've always suffered from, is being ignored. They just don't put people that speak our kind of language featured in the news or with reports or television interviews or whatnot. So our listener was absolutely right. If it were not for venues like the political cesspool, the American people wouldn't ever know a thing.
Yeah, how many people know about Zeljko Glasnovic, former retired major general, went on to Parliament, and if you think you've heard anything, you haven't heard anything yet. Wait to where this interview gets to and what he, as a retired major general and a sitting member of the Croatian Parliament.
Compare him to the stooges that you do hear representing governments in Europe nowadays in the mainstream media.
Let's continue right now with that. Still much more to cover this hour. We've only just gotten started. This interview really gets good.
General, I would like to ask you, what was the catalyst that led you to running for elected office?
Well, as the old saying goes, you're either part of the solution or part of the problem. Actually, veterans pushed me into the political arena, and I had a moral obligation to make the country better. So that's basically it.
Well, what are the current issues? Because we had last week on a former member of European Parliament. Of course, tonight you are a current member of the Croatian Parliament. What are the current issues that Croatia is tackling and wrestling with?
Well, as you know, Croatia has joined the European Union. And basically, the European Union is more or less it's a fiscal union. It's not a union of nations. As this coronavirus outbreak proved, it's every nation for itself, basically. And it has a huge bureaucracy. And basically, we're fighting the cultural battle that you're fighting in America is the same as the one we're fighting in Europe. We're standing up to the culture of death, which is just listening to your program. I see you're anti-abortion. This is part of the culture of death. and we're against social engineering. I think the Frankfurt School and cultural Marxism has permeated every pore of our society, our school system. Critical theory is destroying the educational system in the West globally. We have to stand up against this, as I say, this erosion of Western values and Western identity.
Okay, General, this is Keith Alexander again. Balkans and Balkan politics is kind of like an enigma wrapped in a conundrum or something from people outside of the area. Can you tell us how that plays, if at all, into the battles that you're fighting now against the halfway house to globalism called the European Union?
Well, actually, it's fairly simple. Croats don't like to be called see themselves as part of the Balkans. They were part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, which is basically the Holy Roman Empire. Yugoslavia is a perfect example of a failed experiment where the idea of multiculturalism collapsed. What held that country together, that artificial country, was fell apart twice. It was, as my grandfather said, it was born in blood and dissolved in blood. First, it dissolved in the Second World War with the Axis invasion, and in this last war, with led to the demise of the second Yugoslavia. But Croatians are basically Catholic. They're Catholic, and they've always been part of Central Europe. Serbia has been part of the Orthodox faith, Eastern Orthodox faith. Plus, we have a large Muslim, Bosnia has a large Muslim population that arrived there with the Turkish invasions during the after the fall of Constantinople. And we know the Turks got to Vienna in the 17th century. So this powder keg exploded. The communists, basically, the Yugoslav army was basically a Serbian force. And they destroyed all the... This, it's actually a history lesson for Americans, because what happened was that the Yugoslav National Army, or the People's Army, basically disarmed all of the republics, and we were basically defenseless. We had hunting rifles, and there was an arms embargo, so we fought the war in the beginning with minimum of equipment, arms and equipment. It took time to train and equip, but in the end, we formed an army, 7 guards brigades, and we formed a reserve units, and generally won the war we won the war, but we're somehow now losing the peace.
Well, General, what European nation do you think the Croatian people feel the most kinship to? You said they were all part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. Are they more like Austria? Do they identify with that part, or with any other Balkan nation or Hungary?
In the First World War, my grandfather was on the Italian front in the First World War in the Austro-Hungarian Army. My grandmother's brothers, two were killed in the First World War also, wearing the Austro-Hungarian uniform. And I think we feel kinship to, say, the Baltic republics. We have a similar history because we were all threatened by the Soviet juggernaut. And most Croatians in the diaspora, we're sort of similar to the Irish, because we have a large... We have almost more people living outside the country, from Australia to America, than we have in the country. And these people are basically, majority are Catholic and anti-communist.
Well, to the position of being anti-communist, I'd like to share with the audience. And again, folks, our guest, retired Major General Zeljko Glasnovic, current Member of Parliament in Croatia. I've read, General, that... you've put it that you stand with people who fight for the values of the West, Christianity, moral integrity, working habits, and identity, patriotism, nation, religion, and shared European values. You stand against communists who are under a mask of cosmopolitanism and democracy. These are your words. I want you to know, as you are a current sitting member of Parliament, how much that inspires me even as an American. I don't think I can tell you how much I wish we had just one congressman or one senator who would speak truth to power as you did in just those two sentences.
Well, I think we have to find common ground in the West, because this we have to remember all the time that the battle is being fought at three levels, not just a political level, but above all the cultural and the metaphysical level. Because I think Dostoevsky, he said, in one once he mentioned that the human soul is like an arena in which God and Satan are fighting for supremacy. So we have to stand up. We cannot sit on two chairs at the same time. We have to decide, speak the truth, and we have to act.
You know, Keith, just to reiterate the point, as we sit here and we listen, retired Major General, a war hero, member of Parliament, you know, compared to U.S. media and our elected so-called leaders over here, who's more in our corner?
The general.
to say the least. And, you know, we were just reading I know we're about to come up on a break any second now, so we may have to follow this up in the next segment. But Keith and I were just actually, right before the show started tonight, reading a speech that you gave very recently before the Croatian parliament in Zagreb. And we'll talk about that when we come back. We still have half an hour remaining with the general, retired Major General Zeljko Glasnovic.
We'll be right. So that's actually what you were just listening to before this very moment, was from the original interview in 2020. But I got to reiterate the point here, Keith. You would be hard-pressed to find anybody with a military background, especially anybody with a military background that reaches the ranks of Major General. I don't even think Forrest reached that height. He was Lieutenant General. But or anyone who has attained a level of which would be akin to our Congress as a member of Parliament in Croatia, who's going to talk about these issues. And he had a career, a distinguished career, on both fronts, the military and the political. And he's talking about issues like the Frankfurt School and critical race theory. And this was 4 years ago.
Yeah, that's right. He said that he was very much impressed by Pat Buchanan's book, Death of the West. Well, that's where
we're going to play that part in just a second.
Most people who know about cultural Marxism got their introduction to it in that book, the fourth chapter, For Who Made a Revolution, which is chapter four of Pat Buchanan's Death of the West. But look at the military that he came from compared to America's military. In the year 2000, that's when the real sea change started. Of course, it had begun under Obama. But I was looking at something the other day from Rents Radio, which really shocked me. Over 50% of America's 2, 3, and 4-star generals and their equivalents in the Navy and whatnot, guess what? They're all Jewish. 2% of the population has 50% of the generals. And you don't normally think of the Jewish population being a great source of staffing for the U.S. military. So what is going on in America? We've got a military that is trying to recruit homosexuals, lesbians, transgendered people, people of that sort, turning their back on the backbone of the American military almost since its founding, which would be Southern white rural men. And then you hear a general like this general in Croatia, and you see that the rest of the world has not gone mad. Only America has gone mad with liberalism.
All right. And you might say, yeah, this is a pretty good interview so far. It's actually really good. Well, you haven't heard anything yet. He touches on the core topics, including the Confederacy, Pat Buchanan, and that third rail that Keith is so loves to grab.
Doesn't have any electricity, as far as I'm concerned.
Let's listen to another clip here before the first break of, we're only taking the bottom of the hour break this hour, so we can work all of this in. Back to the interview with Major General, retired Major General, and Member of Parliament, Zeljko Glasnovic.
I think that, but history is not horse. History is cyclical. Empires rise and fall, but if we're students of history, we'll see that many of these empires I think if you number them from Egypt on, first were corrupted from the inside. I think the enemy is always within the walls. I think Cicero said, the Roman orator, that you can see when you're defending your city, you can see the banners of the enemy. You can see his strength, but the enemy inside the gates said he's more to be feared than a murderer, because he's killing the soul, and he's corrupting the body politic of the nation. So this is a much more it's a much tougher enemy to fight.
You know, General, so many people in America are so concerned with status and being pat on the head by the ruling elite,
and willing to sell out their own kind in order to climb the societal ladder.
Whether it be an elected official, a head of business, they're more concerned with getting invited to the right cocktail parties than speaking the truth that you have spoken tonight. And I say again, at the point of sounding repetitious, what I wouldn't give to have just one congressman or senator in this country to tell the truth in a lifetime that you've told in a 30-minute interview thus far. You are an elected official, a member of parliament. What is the response of your constituents to your truth?
Well, I think, you know, birds of a feather flock together. Most of the soldiers are on my side. These recycled communists and their kin are not. But I think, just a rhetorical question for you, for Americans. What do you think of the $34 billion loan over 10 years for military equipment to Israel? Could that have money been used in a better?
We don't like it. I can tell you right now, we don't like it. I wish we could claw that back.
What we say is, you know, Trump's program is supposedly MAGA, Make America Great Again. It's actually MIGA, Make Israel Great Again.
Yeah, well, for the first
I think that I flew to, there were several European Parliament members with me from the so-called right. I think we flew to Syria to see on the ground what was happening there. And it was complete carnage. And I think just for your listeners, we must be wary. We're living in a world where perception is important. Perception, not substance. And we see the world in 10-second news bites, but the world is not like that. I was in Damascus, and we walked the same route where St. Paul launched his mission to the west. And there I saw a monument to 500,000 Assyrian Christians that were murdered in the 1920s by the Turks, the Chechens, and the Kurds. We know of the Armenians, but who's heard of the Assyrian Christians? Christianity is under assault. And I think that European nations, America, the West, must stand up. We must find common ground. We cannot let. We remember the 30 Years' War that totally destroyed Europe, Central Europe. We cannot let this happen again. We must find common ground and fight for the values of the West.
Yeah, I gotta say, Keith, there's no show like this. 20 years ago, there was no show like this at all. I mean, people are doing good work now, but I think the body of work that we've done consistently. And this cooperative spirit and sustained success for 20 years, it was a lonely assignment. This was a frontier outpost 20 years ago. There was nobody anywhere, not on the internet, not on live streams. It was just us. And then here, and you look back, and this is what we're doing this in our retrospective series, TPC at 20, 12 months, 12 parts. This is our third installment. I mean, this is it. This is what we did it for.
Well, you know, there have been plenty of people in our movement, just generally, and also directed at us, trying to break us up. But let me tell you, we stuck it out. We stuck it out, and as a result, now there are plenty of people that have heard about what we're talking about. People like Stu Peters, for example, that talk about Jewish power and influence. And who was doing that back in 2020? I mean,
who was doing it in 2004? 2024.
But the thing is, now it's getting out. It's getting out. It's becoming mainstream.
All right. We'll be right back.
And it is certainly concerning John
Greenberg. We have saved the best for last. You haven't heard nothing yet. I guarantee you, this gets even better, much better.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens. Pursuing Liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Dave Collins. The Brooklyn DA's office say a 32-year-old man acted in defense of his own life and those around him. He was on a Manhattan-bound A train when a 36-year-old started a fight with him and pulled out a gun. The man grabbed the suspect's gun and fired at him. He's now in critical condition. Georgia DA Fawnie Willis is accepting the resignation of her deputy prosecutor. In a written statement Friday, prosecutor Nathan Wade says he's stepping down from the case in the interest of democracy and to move the case forward as quickly as possible. Fulton County Superior Court Judge Scott McAfee on Friday ruled that Willis can remain on former President Trump's election interference case. The Biden administration is being ordered to spend the money that Congress appropriated for a border wall. Texas Judge Drew Tipton, who's a Trump appointee, blocked the federal government from redirecting the $1.4 billion. In his ruling, the judge claimed the border wall would result in fewer illegal aliens entering the country. The governor of Ohio says people in his state came together in the aftermath of some devastating storms.
Asked the law enforcement, you know, how in the world did you check all the places? And they got it done. But we also had neighbors who were watching out for neighbors.
Republican Mike DeWine toured some of the damage in the north central part of the state. Three people died in one tornado. Heavy damage was reported in different areas of Ohio after five tornadoes were confirmed in the state. Spring is getting warmer across the U.S. That's according to a recent analysis from Climate Central, which found the average springtime temperature has gone up by 2.2 degrees Fahrenheit in nearly 230 cities since 1970. This is USA News.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Hey friends, James Edwards here again to remind you that Antelope Hill Publishing is America's premier provider of dissident literature. They print books that mainstream publishers are too afraid to touch, providing you with information you need to challenge the status quo. Whether you're interested through contemporary dissident politics, history that would otherwise be censored or slandered, philosophy, or exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you'll find plenty to love in the Antelope Hill catalog, which includes books such as Generation 68, The Elite Revolution and Its Legacy, about the elite-driven cultural revolution of the 1960s, which transformed America, Whitey on the Moon, about the demise of the space program due to diversity, The Sword of Christ, which argues for restoring Christianity as the foundation of the West and combating heresies like Christian Zionism, speeches by Mussolini and other historical figures, and much more. With new titles added every month, there's no doubt that they have something for everyone. So check out their catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com.
Hey there, TPC family. This is James Edwards, your host of The Political Cesspool. Folks, I want you to subscribe to the American Free Press, America's last real newspaper. Against all odds, AFP has and continues to publish a populist, independent print newspaper with an unparalleled track record. Founded by a dedicated group of experienced patriots, AFP pulls no punches and tackles the most controversial and pressing issues facing America from an America First perspective. I've worked with the American Free Press since even before the beginning of TPC. Now that's something. You can subscribe to the print edition by visiting AmericanFreePress.net today or simply pick up a handy digital edition subscription. However you do it, subscribe to the American Free Press, America's last real newspaper, by visiting AmericanFreePress.net or by calling 1-888-699-NEWS, AmericanFreePress.net.
And welcome back. Listen, folks, I hate to beat a dead horse here, but if you've enjoyed the show this month, this year, the last 20 years, we need your support. You support us this month. $100 or more is going to get you an autographed copy of Steve King's book. Was down with Steve for 4 days in Florida last month. He's become a friend over the last couple of years. And that's what we're going to give you this month. I can't give you nothing. I can't take something for nothing. You support us. Yes, it helps keep us on the air, and we all benefit through that, but I'm going to send you a gift. Best gift I can get my hands on. We've done it every quarter for 20 years. And, you know, but it's giving a platform to people like General Glasnovich, who, you know, he's calling a certain group of people in one of the previous segments recycled communists and cosmopolitans, but he gets a little more to the point as the interview goes on.
I've just got a question for you now.
You're about to hear it. Yeah.
What you're talking about an inducement or an incentive? How about a signed autographed picture of Hannah? What's her?
Well, you haven't even seen her yet.
I know, but I'm just
thinking. Folks, me and Keith are going to have some fun after the show ends, believe me. Now, you haven't even seen her yet.
No, I'm just going on your
believe me, son, you don't want reputation. You don't want to.
And will I be able to drive home after?
Anyway. All right, let's get back to the interview. Let's keep our heads on here. Back to this interview with Zeljko Glasnovich, former retired general. I guess he's still a currently retired general, major general. Rupert's about to meet the road.
Retired Major General Zeljko Glasnovich, current member of parliament in the nation of Croatia. And we were talking in the last segment, Keith, about the way that this man stands up for the West, for our identity, for the faith of our fathers, and he does it as an elected official. And I was scouring the ranks of our congressmen and our senators, and I cannot find one with the courage and the dedication of this man, not here in this country. And we were reading a speech that General Glasnovich gave to the Croatian parliament back in January about the psychotic left and how that is Croatia's greatest threat. How would you break down that speech? We have the transcript of it.
Well, I stand to be corrected. Basically, some of the old players have found their way into the new government and they have not changed their ways. Would that be a fair assessment? General?
Well, true. They're really good at shape-shifting. I think this is the problem. We have politicians that are basically just the old guard. The same thing happened in all the post-communist countries. Well, you had laws passed after the fall of the Berlin Wall called lustration laws. Lustration is basically from the Latin to light up, to cleanse, I think. But a lot of these people basically shape-shifted, and overnight from party hacks, snitches that worked for the secret police, overnight they became cosmopolitans, progressives, liberals. It's only an act, of course, and I don't know if there's a similarity in America, because you never had the one-party system there. But I think we have to be very, it's always, my grandmother would always say, don't listen to what's being said, but who's saying it. So I think this is one of the basic rules we should follow when we're trying to. I think we've lost generally in the West is losing the power of discernment, which is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If we lose this, then we're open for manipulation. I think we have a media filter generally in the West, and the media is basically. It survives, it feeds on fear and insecurity, and it only allows for that filter what they wish us to see. Much, it's like an iceberg. We see just the surface, but below the surface is kept from the public. And we're living in a dystopia. I think that 1984, I think we talk a lot about Orwell, but I think that dystopia is generally here now. We're living it.
Well, General, I hate to come back to the same type of question, but it seems to crop up. Is Jewish power and influence a problem in Croatian politics? Are the old communists also, like the Russian Bolsheviks were, predominantly Jewish? Or what? How does that dynamic play any part whatsoever in the politics of Croatia?
Well, yeah, they, in Europe, people kowtow to the Jewish. Of course, they kowtow to the Israeli lobby because, you know, they're beaten, browbeaten with that in the cultural war. We're beaten over the head all the time with the Second World War. But I always say this: the truth is not an ideological preposition, and history is not a suffering Olympics, and no one has a monopoly on suffering. So I think we owe.
That's a great line.
Yeah, that's a great line.
Yeah, yeah. So the truth is the truth. So I ask these people in Parliament, excuse my crude language here, I call them anal alpinists, these people I asked them, I said, listen, can you give me the name of one camp in the Gulag Archipelago where 18 million human beings passed through? Of course, you know, Solzhenitsyn, the Russian writer that spent time in the Gulag, his famous book, The Gulag Archipelago, there were 200 camps where Bolshevik Satanists tortured and murdered people. He couldn't name one camp. So it's in the West where that filter only allows us, but we have to just see who owns the media. When you look at The Economist, Foreign Affairs, you have the Jewish lobby in their shills. People sell themselves cheaply. But again, another proverb, a German proverb, a dead man's shirt has no pockets. No one will remember what we took with us to the grave, but the legacy left behind, that will follow us and our children and grandchildren. So unless we stand up, speak the truth, and act, as I said before, we're facing, this is basically a cultural war and a spiritual war. So we must find common ground. And this radio program is part of this, that formula.
All right, and I got to thank the general again for that compliment. But here he is. All right, retired major general, member of parliament in the Croatian government, and he's calling it out. He's saying it by name, not euphemisms. He's using the word.
Yeah, he's strong as Garrett Snuff. You know, he'll call a spade a dirty shovel, as I've said before. And see, he's the type that he's. He's followed a career trajectory which all of our politicians should follow. Somebody that has worked in the military or in the government and basically excelled and distinguished themselves. And basically he has a groundswell from people that, you know, were with him in the military that saw what a wonderful leader he was in the military, and they encouraged him and supported him to run for office. That's the exact opposite of Jewish power and influence that comes in and says, who is the most pliable sycophant that we can find?
But this
that's
is the
who
thing.
We'll support.
And Keith, that's the thing. I mean, you know, to all of this, as you heard in the last segment, he mentioned it. As Jack Ryan has put it on the show, it starts with a J, ends with an S, and rhymes with Jews. He mentioned it. I mean, he mentioned it as a sitting member of parliament and as a retired major general.
And see,
can you imagine one person? And this is what I kept saying in the interview when we had it back in 2020. One person in the military or the government, Congress, Senate, or House, that would do that. What he's doing with those accolades and with those accomplishments.
Well, what they used to say is that America was the home of the free and the land of the free and home of the brave. Well, we're definitely not as free as this general. Okay, and furthermore. I don't see anybody in Congress that is as brave as this man. All of them are sycophants to Jewish power and influence.
All right, let's go back. We got two more segments that we are revisiting in this as part 3 of 12 of our TPC at 20 retrospective. You understand why we're picking the interviews we have, right, folks? I mean, with Drew Lackey in January and Anthony Cumia in February, and now Zeljko Glasnovic, which fits like a hand in glove with our March Around the World series.
See, these are the real heroes, not the people that you hear about, not the people that are getting accolades from ABC, CBS, the Democratic Party, the Republican Party.
We can bring them to you.
Yeah, we know who they are, and they do exist. And tune into the Political Cesspool if you want to know who they are and hear what they have to say.
Well, here's a little bit more of what they have to say, more with the retired general, member of parliament, Zeljko Glasnovic.
Well, I think our salvation may lie in the east, you know, the east of the west, if that makes any sense, the eastern frontier of Western civilization.
Parts that used to be part of behind the Iron Curtain.
Brethren.
Exactly.
I think both of you are friends of Pat Buchanan, I believe.
That's right.
Pat Buchanan has made several appearances on this program. You are correct. And I worked for the guy.
Well, excellent. I think he'd be interested to know that his book, The Death of the West, is a bestseller in Croatia. We had it translated, and it's been sold in all the Christian bookshops here.
Yeah, and he has a follow-up on it called Suicide of a Superpower that came out about 15 years after Death of the West that you ought to consult, too, to see
how... We'll have
how,
to get a hold of that. But anyways, the people here in Croatia, despite the aristocide and the mass murder committed by the communists, there's still that noble part of the population that survived. We had a referendum on marriage, and people decided the referendum is marriage is basically a union between a man and a woman. They say here,
thank
not
you.
Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Right. Well, thank you for doing that. I mean, and God bless the good people of Croatia, because even Donald Trump is pushing this population of 4.4 million people holding the line for Christendom and the West. Our own president here in America, who's supposedly this populist,
who is
rightist,
cowed by Jewish power and influence.
Well,
let's call a spade a dirty shovel, as your granddad used to say.
Terrible things are happening. For example, in Israel, they're all for open borders. But I asked them, where are their open borders? They have a wall 400 kilometers, whatever.
Well, they're special, you see.
And abortion is abortion only in extreme cases. What's frightening is that Canada, basically, I lived there for, I was in the Canadian Army, and it's basically their leader, Justin Trudeau, is a prototype of what a leader should not be. In 10 years, Canada will not be a Western country. Not just because of immigration, but because of this social anarchy. I think they have 30 genders now. You have an organization in Canada called... Yeah.
I laugh only to keep from crying, General, because you're right. I mean, this is the madness. Well, this actually leads me to my next question, and not to interrupt you, but this leads me to something so important that we have to touch on, and that is the post-Christian... West, and you look at the nations that have re-embraced the faith of our fathers, places like Russia, Croatia, Hungary, and they are leading a nationalist revival. And you look at the places where decadence has taken root and taken hold, like in the United States and Canada, and
West Germany,
England, and the results have been predictable. How important is it that for any of our nations to survive and much less thrive, that we re-embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ?
Well, the Ten Commandments are a good idea for they're the basis of any civilized society. But Christ also said that will come with a sword, I believe. I'm not a theologian or a preacher, but I think that somewhere he said this. And, you know, we don't always have to turn the other cheek. We have to speak the truth. We have to defend ourselves. You know, we saw
Amen.
The situation when the country was disarmed. We were there for the slaughter. Unless we fought, had we not fought back, I would not be on your radio program tonight.
Well, you know what they say, says in the Bible, it says, if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and get one. that's what we need to do. And problem with our church is that liberalism has taken over the church denominational headquarters. We say that the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John have been replaced with the Gospels of Peter, Paul, and Mary. That was a folk singing group that was so
popular
back in the days of the civil rights movement.
Well, I mean, all of the institutions here in America, whether it be academia, media, of course, government, and even the churches, have been negatively affected by the societal trends. But it is so refreshing again. If we had you on, even as your capacity, in your capacity as just a Croatian citizen, this would have been a fantastic hour of radio. But obviously, I must admit, it does carry more weight when you put your laurels out there, because we just don't have that here in America. You know, a retired major general, a current member of parliament, who is standing up for the values of our ancestors, standing up for our traditional faith, standing up for our identity unique people.
And our military is based. Basically, the police force for one world government now. Nobody in America ever voted for that, but that's what it is.
All right, Keith, we got one more segment to play from this retrospective interview with Glasnovich, but I liked what he mentioned that, well, everything, but especially that in the Christian bookstores, you're going to go to a Christian bookstore here in America, one of these Lifeway Christian stores, which is a Southern Baptist imprint. You're going to have Martin Luther King stuff. You're going to have this and you're going to have that. What you're not going to find is Death of the West. He says in the Christian bookstores in Croatia, you got Pat Buchanan books.
You know, I wish I had remembered another quotation that just occurred to me. You know, he was quoting, you know, that, you know, you need to, you know, if you have a cloak and a sword, you need to sell your cloak to buy a sword. I wish I had said this from Thomas Jefferson. He said, "Those who beat their swords into plowshares will soon be plowing for those who don't." You know, that's what we need to have a church militant. You know, there are a lot of people, a lot of churches that when they're doing their liturgy, they refrain from using the word militant. It says, "Now we pray for the whole state of a Christ Church militant." They just say Christ Church. Well, you need to, there are only two manifestations of the Christian church. One is militant, you're fighting for the Christian faith. The other is triumphant. That's what will happen after the last day.
The church triumphant. I got to tell you, I had an experience last weekend at a Russian Orthodox church. It's the first time I've ever visited such a congregation. What a beautiful form of worship. What a more serious form of worship than you get from, you know, so many of the Protestant denominations these days. You go to a rural Southern Baptist church. It's the best people in the world in the pews. But the head table is a totally different animal. Not so much there in the Russian Orthodox.
Well, you know what happened. The reason we have fundamentalism here in the South and the frontier is because there were not enough priests and bishops to spread around. So the people had to, you know, to have church, they had to basically find the layman among their number that had the, you know, most knowledge about the Bible. And he was basically elected or selected. But, you know, in hierarchical churches, they talk about father this. Or on the other hand, in fundamentalist churches, it's brother this and brother that. And that's because he's first among equals. But that was something that the people had forced upon them. And it showed a failure of leadership in the old liturgical churches. But, you know, there is a problem when you don't have a hierarchy that you have rogue agents. Well, but on the other hand, so do the liturgical hierarchical churches. So this is a society-wide problem, and Christianity has really had problems because of its lack of true leadership.
But here we have General Glasnovich, member of parliament, talking about, hey, we're not going to get back there except through the faith of our fathers. And we have one more segment with him that we're revisiting tonight, celebrating 20 years on the radio with 20 years and 12 of our most iconic interviews. And this is one of them. And here's how it ended.
Parting shots would you leave with our listeners tonight? What haven't we covered that perhaps you'd want to make mention of?
Well, I guess I'll go back to my grandmother. She survived two world wars. The communists killed her whole family, more or less. But she never bowed under any of this. She always went on. She said, never give up. Don't ever give up. That's one thing. Fight the good fight to keep the faith and everything will be in order.
Well, you bring up something important there, I think, and we've talked about this before. It's a familiar refrain that suffering bonds people together, and that one of the effects of suffering is that you remember who you are. I think here in the South is distinct from the rest of the United States because of our war between the states and the suffering that we had during that war and through Reconstruction. And because of that group suffering, we formed an identity that is different and distinct and separate from the other parts of
the
United States.
We're the first people on earth to say, Yankee, go home.
But, I mean, do you think it's important? Do you think that we have been too comfortable as Westerners and that perhaps a little suffering will help temper us for the days to come and for the years to come if we are to reclaim our destiny?
Well, I think, true enough, whether we like it or not, we're tribal. We stick, let's say, birds of a feather fly together. You have the same identity in the South. I'm saddened to hear that they started tearing down some of the monuments to these Confederate works.
Memphis is ground zero for that, by the way. Nathan Bedford Forrest and Jefferson Davis statues went down.
Thank you for saying that, General. That means a lot because it does, you know, that is something that's obviously, very, very personal.
You have an organization, the veterans of Confederate, sons of Confederate veterans.
Sons of Confederate veterans.
Have an organization.
And they fought, and they fought these battles in courts. But of course, you know, our courts are just another institution that is just as subservient to liberal orthodoxy as the rest. And so, it is very hard for a traditionalist to get a fair shake in an American court. And so, most of these cases we lose.
Well, I think it's maybe in conclusion, not to terrorize you with my monologues anymore. My brother says your monologues will put us inside of sleep. I hope not. But
not at all.
You have a Catholic, he's a theologian and a writer, Chesterton. He wrote a poem called The Ballad of the Pale Horse. It's about King Alfred, the Anglo-Saxon king that defeated the Danes, I believe, in the 8th century. And in that ballad, he says that the barbarians will come. They're at the gates, basically, the barbarians, just as they were before Rome. And Chesterton says this in the ballad. He says, they won't come with weapons and torches. They'll come with ink and the ink on their hands. So how did we get to this? How did we let the minority terrorize the majority? And if we remain silent, as I said before, we're going to commit civilizational suicide.
How about that, Keith? A retired Major General, member of Parliament in Croatia. And he gave it all. He played all the hits on TPC that night. And to revisit that, I thought it was a fitting installment to our retrospective series.
Yeah, again, you think about things you should have said. I should have quoted Hilaire Belloc's poem about the Last Crusade. I think that would have fit in perfectly with what he was talking about.
We have heroes out there. I mean, heroes that would be unbeknownst to the vast majority of Americans who are not tuned into TPC, but even for those who are regular listeners, if you missed that particular night in 2020, that's why we're revisiting it tonight. That's hardcore stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
that's it.
Tell your friends if they have not heard this, if you've got some mainstream conservative-type friends that don't listen to the political cesspool, ask them to listen to the third hour of tonight's show.
And I don't know how far we are away from more people speaking like that. I think a lot of people are at the cusp, but they're a little afraid. They don't have the courage of a guy who was shot through the lungs and broke out of the hospital to rejoin the Croatian War of Independence. So to him, speaking up about Jewish power and influence and honoring Confederates, even though he's a Croatian.
That's a day off for him.
Yeah, that's a day off. But I don't know how far off we are from more people having that kind of courage. Courage is contagious. We've been doing everything we could to spread
it. Well, I want to see some of that courage in the halls of Congress.
You got anybody like Glasnovich in Congress today?
No, but we better ask him to recruit some for us.
Hey, folks, we want to continue to be on the air, and we need your support. And we'll continue to give you shows like this. We want to thank Keith Woods from Ireland tonight. March Around the World will continue next week in Germany. First hour next week will be in Germany. You don't want to miss it. For Keith Alexander, I'm James Edwards. Good night. Godspeed. We love you. Happy St. Patrick's Day.